Welcome back, everybody, to a brand new episode and a brand new year and a brand new decade to Dark Sunsets. JR, what is good, brother?
Happy New Year, everybody. It's been a little bit since we've been on the microphones, but it's good to be back, and it's good to kind of bring in the new year, bring in the new cheer, and get things popping with y'all.
Yeah, let's really just jump into this. I mean, some of the stories that we were looking at here before we jumped into today's episode, there's some fun ones, some interesting ones, and just to talk about those in detail and how we're going to tie them together, I think that was one of the funniest parts by putting these stories together today.
Yeah, the segues definitely are sentences that if somebody was walking by randomly, didn't know what we were talking about, they would definitely stop in their tracks and probably call the police just
immediately.
But yeah, I mean, we're going to talk about some worldly stuff, some dumb people, some shocking stuff, some ice cold stuff. But I mean, it's going to cover all the bases. And it's just good to be back. So, you know, as always, you know what we say, the darker the sunset, the brighter the day.
Hey, so again, we're really excited and we're happy to be back. We have some new things that are happening at the pod as well. We have some sponsorships coming in through Anchor, which you might have heard in the beginning of this episode. We're going to be doing some video content as well. So look out for all of that. And as always, you know, we love your guys' feedback. So thanks.
And so just to kind of, you know, it's right before Super Bowl and everything. But, you know, just before we really get started, just condolences, deepest condolences out to Kobe Bryant's family and all the family of all the victims in the recent helicopter crash. Definitely wasn't expecting that. And, you know, the effects definitely have reverberated around the world. It's one of those things where, you know, appreciate everybody that you have, and if you haven't talked to somebody in a while, or you haven't been around, you know, people that you need to be, just show your appreciation however you can, you know. Yeah. What I mean, so just appreciate the time here, because it's, you know, right now we're doing a podcast and we're enjoying, but you know, there is real world stuff that's going on out there. So just, you know, condolences and everything like that, but just wanted to touch on that before we got started.
Yeah, we have to do it. I mean, we were talking about it a little bit earlier, you know, when it obviously happened, and it happened so suddenly and out of nowhere. You know, you and I talked about it. We thought it was fake news at first. And unfortunately, when it came to fruition that it actually happened, you know, for us, you know, that was our generational, you know, Michael Jordan. We didn't grow up really watching Michael Jordan play too much versus Kobe Bryant. So everyone in the world knew who he was as an individual, and you know, he was starting to develop more and more outside of, you know, playing the game because he was retired, and it was just so sad and so sudden. So definitely hearts out to everybody there.
Yeah, and kind of moving on just a little bit, you know, Super Bowl is coming, so make sure you get your football squares in. Make sure you technically, this is one of those Super Bowls where there's not the New England Patriots involved. So
which is great.
It's going to be a good Super Bowl for everybody. Yeah. Like, it's one of those things where everybody's a winner. No offense to you Patriots fans, but you
but
know,
also fuck you.
Exactly.
Patriots
it's fans. Yeah. So, you know, good Super Bowl's coming up and everything like that. But yeah, let's get it cracking, J-Rob.
So just to dive directly into it, our first story today consists of the world's first transgender children's doll with penis underneath woman's clothes was actually spotted on sale in a toy store, actually in Europe of all places.
Yeah, this story was not more than about 12 days old, so it was in the new year. It was the first transgender doll went on sale in a Russian toy shop, and the doll itself, like if you actually look at the pictures of the doll, it features a you know, I guess a baby doll penis and a dress.
You say it so subtly. I get, you're not under oath right now. You're actually not in court. I just want to share with that. I guess a baby doll penis. Let's be frank of what this looks like, okay?
So the pictures of the doll have gone viral. And the toy shop that it was actually in, it's called Planet of Toys. I don't know the Russian. I can't actually pronounce that right now.
He just literally became Russian right there. And that's what's shocking is, like, of all places, this transgender toy, when you think about like the LGBT community and all of that, you don't think of Russia or Serbia being a place where you would think this would be the first place where this toy would be allowed.
Yeah. And this is in Siberia technically. So, kind of harsh climates, harsher views on certain things sometimes, you know.
I'm glad you know so much about Siberia.
That's why I'm not going to go to Siberia anytime soon, just due to the harshness of how everything is out there. But yeah, it's a little red and yellow polka dot dress. It has male genitalia, blue eyes, blonde hair. And it actually initially, well, I should say the very first transgender doll that was, I guess, created and went on sale was actually way back in 2018. And it went on sale in Argentina at a Toys R Us.
Yeah.
And then in 2019, the toy company Mattel, you know, Mattel makes a lot of toys.
They make
and
like
games
Barbie
and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe they are the Barbie manufacturer. They announced that they were going to be doing a gender neutral Barbie doll.
So, and I think let's just touch on that as well. So like you see a lot of kids nowadays becoming more and more, it seems like they're obviously comfortable with themselves at a younger age, and you know, they're boys and they're dressing up in girls' dresses or vice versa. I feel like this is going to allow them to, you know, feel more comfortable with themselves. But you know, as far as the feedback, it seems like it's either way. Like it's people, some people are positive and some people are negative, right? There's, which is what we're seeing in this article, especially, you know, through the social media platforms as well.
Yeah, like the, I would say like the top three or four comments, you know, through socials, somebody asked, is it okay to produce toys like that for children? And it's a reasonable question, reasonable statement. You know, that is a good question. Like it's,
I actually asked that question. So yeah.
if you're in the developmental stage, is that like the right time for all that? But then another person was saying, and you know, this is what the other person said. They said, all they have to do is buy a medical toolkit and the kid can learn how to amputate.
So, and here's the thing. So a couple of things come to mind with about this, right? So once again, we're just, you can't visually see what the toy looks like, but it has a little kid's, a little dot, like a little girl's pigtails head, this dress. And then if you lift up the dress, which, you know, we're not doing, there's a nub that looks like a little bit of a clit dick, if you will.
It's
like
a surprise.
It's a very much a surprise. So for someone to actually jump in there and be like, oh, you could easily amputate it. I mean, now are you combining the game doctor with what this toy is for the kids? Is that what's happening here?
That's two different spectrums of opinions right there. And then there were some people that I guess were just unimpressed by what they're calling now a forward-thinking toy. People are just unimpressed, where one user had said, you know, I think it's really terrible what's going on in this child's parents' head. And technically the child isn't, the baby doll's not animated, or it's not alive creature. So I don't even know what that user... We'll just pass on that user's comment.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see, from my point of view, I don't see the negatives of this. But, you know, obviously the negatives could be talking to, you know, your child to learn about what this could be. Can a girl have a dick, or can a guy have a vagina that early? So that's going to be difficult conversations to come up, I'm sure. And that's what a lot of parents are probably turning their eyes around, this type of toy itself. And a lot of people are even come to the table and saying, hey, have you guys ever considered that it's simply a manufacturing defect? Well, I don't know about you, but I don't know any toys that have the defect where they're putting on a dick and balls on one of the toys. So that's going to be new when they talk about a defect like that.
That actually does seem, out of all this, that actually seems like it could be a very tangible thing where they might have made a mistake, and then instead of throwing out 100,000 or 300,000 baby dolls with penises, they're like, oh, let's market it as we're being forward thinking and move some inventory.
Yeah, I mean, to keep in mind as well, that could be like, you know, like Willy Wonka with the golden ticket. That could be the one that was created, and there could be a prize inside the doll.
The golden ticket, yeah.
The golden ticket, which is the episode title name 100%. And speaking of which, I know we didn't touch on this up top, but it's episode 20, man. Cheers. It's a milestone.
Salute. Yeah, we've reached that pinnacle. Now we got some sponsorship going, like the video socials and everything. Everything's cruising along.
Absolutely.
Know?
Yeah. So that was obviously the first area that we want to discuss with you right out of the gate, because, you know, the most important news first with a doll, a female doll with a penis. We thought, you know, that's something that you guys would be fully interested in learning more about.
Well, it's a worldly thing that you want to discuss with the audience.
Absolutely.
You know?
And speaking of worldly, that definitely transitions us nicely, and speaking of transitions back to the defective penis, but the transitions us very nicely into our next article, which I know we're joking in a light manner about a lot of these articles, but this is a really serious one as well. A disturbing number of people actually think that the coronavirus, which if you don't know what the coronavirus is, you're obviously living under a rock, and we're going to talk through that today with you guys and definitely educate you on what the coronavirus is. But a lot of people are thinking that the coronavirus is actually related, JR, to Corona beer.
And this is almost, I don't want to call it like a pandemic, but it's pretty much like an epidemic right now. It's one of those things, this coronavirus, where it started off in China, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And it's grown exponentially at, I believe it was maybe, let's say, after January, you know, like the 5th of January or something like that.
Literally, yeah. It's been like less than 2 weeks, yeah.
And it's gone, like the speed in which it's grown exponentially has been crazy. Like, it's like faster than SARS and faster than Ebola and anything like that. It's just went just crazy. So it started off on the other side of the world, in China.
In Wuhan, China, yeah.
And it's now, there's 6 cases of it. At least this was as of yesterday. There was 6 cases of it in the United States. And then there was also different, I believe one was a cruise ship that, the cruise ship itself had, I believe, 6,000 passengers. And just due to everything that was going on, you weren't able to actually get off the cruise ship for quite some time.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you think about this now, you know, this isn't something that's just happening in the other side of the world. This is something now that it's impacting us here, you know, locally, you know, most importantly, just maintain, if you can, just constantly being washing your hands, all said and done. But, you know, just to talk about this in detail, you know, a confirmed case in Tibet, meaning this virus has reached every origin in the mainland of China, essentially, but it's also now coming over to America as well and other parts of the world. 9,692 cases have been tested positive. And, you know, with nearly all the deaths that have occurred in this province of China directly, you know, the actual province of China has 60 million people in this area. So yeah. If you were to travel there, JR, if I was to travel there, I've seen articles of people who are Americans traveling there and they can't leave because they're being detained.
Yeah. And through the World Health Organization, they were actually claiming that the number of people infected by the Wuhan coronavirus could actually have the chance to double every 6 days. So,
wow.
I mean, this is almost, you know, Warren Buffett said that the most powerful force on the planet is compound interest. This is basically compounding at a dangerous level with a dangerous, you know, situation. Like anything that is a epidemic, that's a virus that's actually growing like this, you know, please be careful, wash your hands, you know, just be cognizant of your hygiene and your cleanliness, because at the very least you can help prevent the parabolic spreading of this, because we don't need another, you know, black plague or something like that.
Or the SARS virus. And that's what's crazy as well, is if you look at the symptoms of this virus, it's not anything that's like significantly severe. The symptoms seem similar to the flu, right? Like, you know, you have a wet cough, or you know, your temperature raises and you just seem fatigued. Some of the people who actually have been able to acquire this virus, some of their symptoms are actually non-existent, which is even scarier as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, overall, this is something that's really happening. So don't travel to Asia right now. But then again, now it's impacting all around the world. So and that was something that I was traveling last week. I was in Vegas and I was meeting hundreds of people and, you know, shaking people's hands. And that could be something, even breathing closely to someone could absolutely, you know, I could be accepting of the virus in my system, which, you know, all said and done, it seems like more and more people are dying, which is, you know, terrible and tragic.
And supposedly China is building a 1,000 bed hospital in the span of 6 days.
Crazy.
in order to be able to just deal with this outbreak. And I know that the U.S. was also planning to evacuate like around 36 diplomats and their families that were in Wuhan. They're trying to basically evacuate them from there, you know, barring that they haven't, I guess, contracted it or anything like that.
Yeah.
And then the flight itself is going to be manned by medical personnel and land someplace out in California, because California, I believe, has some quarantine zones.
Okay.
And then other countries that are also planning to do something similar to the U.S.'s plan of, you know, getting their diplomats out would be Australia, India, France, and even South Korea. Not North Korea, but South Korea. North Korea just doesn't, you know.
They don't play games.
Kim Jong don't play like that. No. But.
And I mean, I'm sure you've seen videos, or, you know, I'd invite people who are listening to look at some of the clips online. You know, people are wearing hazmat suits to go to and from work, and they're keeping gloves on. I saw one video of a taxi driver in China, and he looks like, you know, he looks like he's in Breaking Bad. He has a fucking full on hazmat suit.
Yeah.
He's got goggles on. He's just really trying to eliminate any opportunity to even invite this, you know, plague, if you will, in. And
he's Heisenberg.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it's, you know, it's him directly. And in this article as well, we learned that, you know, from January 20th all the way up to January 30th, which is a, you know, small amount of time frame, 10 days. In January 20th in the province of China, it went from 291 cases, and within 10 days, it's escalated all the way up to over 7,700 cases as well. So wow. You can just see how many people are being impacted by this, and it's really taken over the country. And I just hope that, you know, obviously, I'm only going to be staying in your house, so can I rent a room, and, you know, we just won't allow this plague to get in here?
Just as long as you don't get confused and think that this coronavirus is based off of drinking too much Corona or Corona Light.
And that's what's crazy as well, right? And I won't, because I'm drinking a Modelo right now, but but that's what literally people were doing. Some fucking idiots in our world, and we were talking about just how to eliminate some of these folks, you know, natural selection. People were actually Googling, and Google provided search term increase in this article, and shared that more and more people were typing Corona beer virus because they called the coronavirus.
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain level of, I guess, common sense, but we always get these stories, and, you know, you guys know out there how, you know, a lot of these people just do dumb stuff. And I mean, something that's a pandemic, If you're going to sit there and you're going to think that it's a pandemic because it's based off of, I believe it's a Mexican beer, or, you know, if it's based off Corona, you're just, it's just wipe them off the fucking earth. It's natural selections here, but you guys always hear these stories about all these people that do dumb stuff or think dumb stuff, whatever. And we always provide you with that good on those new challenges. So
yes,
we got a new challenge that has just popped up. I always have this issue of calling these quote unquote challenges because it's not really a challenge as much as it's most of the time something that's dumb. And
this one follows suit.
This one, out of all of them, you know, this one kind of hits a new spot. This one is called the Outlet Challenge. And it's actually started to spread enough where authorities are warning, you know, TikTok users and people to stop doing this outlet challenge because, you know, if you don't know what TikTok is, it's basically a social platform.
It's like a new age Vine, basically, right?
Yeah, yeah. And really good video editing and whatnot. But, you know, it's on the up and coming and whatnot. But the outlet challenge in and of itself, it involves taking, you know, like the little the plug portion that goes into the wall outlet of like your charger, whether it be your iPhone or Android, but like the little plug portion that goes in, and you're supposed to insert that portion kind of like halfway into a wall outlet, and then people are sliding a penny onto the exposed metal prongs. Sounds silly to say, but.
And yeah, describe what the goal is of this challenge.
And so this challenge, the whole goal of this challenge is to produce a blast of electrical sparks. Literally, that's the whole goal of the challenge. And
I mean, when we talked about challenges, and I know we've talked about challenges on this podcast before, where do you feel that this challenge compares to like the Tide Pod eating challenges? And, you know, at least that one also falls underneath the dumb spectrum. But I think I think this one is dumber because this can kill your whole family, not just the person doing it.
Yeah, it is worse because it does have collateral damage effects that can reach out to, like you said, like the whole family, the whole household, whatever. Like, I would hate if I was, you know, in a college household, I had, let's say, three roommates, some dumb, you know, person decided to do the outlet challenge, and then they burn down the house while all of us are in it roasting.
I mean, bro, it'd be terrible. If I went to your funeral, I'd be like, hey, how did JR go out? He went out by a fucking penny behind an iPhone charger.
One of his roommates did the outlet challenge and wanted to just produce electrical sparks. But, yeah, this thing has been crazy, and it actually, some kid out in, I believe it was,
I think it's Massachusetts, right?
I think so, but yeah, he actually did it at a high school, and we actually have the clip real quick for you. I'm going to cue it up right now, and you guys can listen to it.
The principal at Westford Academy points to an electrical outlet in a classroom, where on Friday, a teacher heard a loud noise, then saw smoke.
It was enough smoke and enough smell for the alarm to go off.
At another outlet in the hallway outside the classroom, the damage was even worse. Soot on the wall, melted wires, and fried circuit breakers. Soon afterwards, a video started circulating among Westford students showing one of their classmates in the hallway plugging a phone charger block into the outlet.
And then takes some kind of coin and slips that coin into the in between the wall and the block. And you just see a large snap and a large, you know, ray of smoke that comes out.
The principal at Westford Academy has now ordered all hallway outlets to be capped. And the student faces charges of burning a building, destruction of property, and disorderly conduct. He told the principal he's very sorry.
You know, he asked the question as a building principal, why would you do something like this? And, you know, got the simple answer, thought it'd be kind of fun.
So, a couple of things, right? So one, when you buy a new house, or, you know, you have children that are between the ages of, let's say, 6 fucking months and 5, maybe 7.
6 fucking months.
What do you have? What do you have? You have these caps that go over the outlets. Now they're going to have to do that throughout an entire kid's life because they're doing this outlet challenge either in their home or at school where they could literally fucking burn a building down.
Now, my entrepreneurial side just kicked in because I'm thinking that if I can get enough of these outlet plugs from China and get them to Amazon quickly for some Amazon
FBA sales. Don't go there. We don't want you to go there.
I just want it shipped out. I have it shipped directly to Amazon.
Don't go to Wuhan.
And then that might sell out because if enough people keep doing this outlet challenge, either they're going to keep plugging the outlets or just the amount
so
of, you know.
So let's just confirm, you're going to be capitalizing on natural selection because you're going to be looking at these people who need these caps replaced or the caps to cover the outlets. So you're going to be the plug. You're literally going to be the plug.
I'm literally going
to
be the plug. And
you're the plug of plugs.
the plug of plugs. That might be the episode title right there. But you think about it, it's like, yeah, I want to help provide safety. And at the same time, the more income you can make from
none of this
safety.
Sounds authentic. All I can see is, you know, when you look at cartoons and like the dollar signs, like Looney Tunes are in their eyes. That's all I could see when I looked over at you right there.
Listen, these people want to create sparks and all this other stuff. Like, you know, the whole story, shocking, stupid, dumb stuff, whatever. But if all of you that are out there are old enough, the most shocking thing that you'll come across is our next story, because one of your favorite movies back in the day, The Mighty Ducks.
Great movie.
I don't know if he's a star, but I mean, you know, all the kids in the Mighty Ducks, whatever.
He's a star.
But the actor's name, it's Sean Weiss. He was like the little kind of chunky goalie, I believe.
Yep.
Didn't he play goalie?
And he was also in The Heavyweights, which was like the fat camp movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, yeah, you know, everybody that's a child actor, they're all sweet, it's all good, all gravy, no worries, whatever. This Mighty Ducks actor has now been arrested on burglary and meth charges. And let me tell you, I'm looking at his before and after photo. He did not age well.
No. So we invite everyone listening to look at some of the footage from Mighty Ducks. And he was this, you know, younger kid, animated, just a younger kid. Sure, he liked to eat. And then look at his before and after photos, as JR is mentioning. He looks like the burglar from Home Alone.
When he's getting electrocuted, like when he reaches on the door handle and gets electrocuted, That's what it actually looks like.
I mean, and the story just unravels itself right here. So he was arrested, and he's 40 years old, first off. So he was arrested on Sunday morning, this past Sunday at 7 a.m. He was charged with residential burglary and being under the influence of a controlled substance, which later on we found out was, you guessed it, meth.
That ice.
That ice. So police say
Mighty Ducks ice. So
the flying V? No. It's the flying ice. So police say that Wes broke into this woman's garage at 7 a.m. and then into her car by shattering a window. The homeowner obviously called the police during the break-in, and officers found Wes in the car when they arrived. And his bail, I mean, it's pretty high. I'm not going to lie. It's $52,000. And he's definitely best known for, as you mentioned, being he was the goalie. That's right. So he was the goalie in Mighty Ducks. And yeah, I mean, Emilio Estevez, he was the guy that hugged him at the end. Like, he was that main guy.
So yeah, apparently he's been on like a downward spiral, because I guess once you are the goalie for the Mighty Ducks, it's only down from there. But
you've peaked. Absolutely.
He got arrested for public intoxication back in August 2018. And then he also got arrested for shoplifting December 2018. So 2018 wasn't a good year for him. But, you know, you see a lot of child stars where they kind of – they have peaked kind of. Their careers have peaked at that upper point. And, you know, when you think about it, I guess it does – if they don't have the right, you know, support system around them, it kind of sets them up so that they do end up looking like they're on meth or actually doing meth, you know.
Yeah, well, you look at like Macaulay Culkin, right? Everyone sees him as Home Alone, this innocent kid who had this bright future ahead of him. I mean, it never seems to go well for childhood actors later on in life.
And then just to kind of hit you with the full circle that we used to do from all those previous episodes, it's like you have the people that are dressed up like that cab driver you're talking about with the full suit looking like Heisenberg.
Oh, yeah.
And then you got the other end, the child star now on meth buying the ice from Heisenberg.
Full circle, baby. And speaking of ice as well, let's just transition into our final story here. This one really made us laugh, you know, looking at this, because it's once in a blue moon type scenario. And of course, you know, a lot of the stories that we've been talking about have been worldly. So this one really just takes it home for us. A German woman was actually saved from a Norwegian wilderness by setting up a Tinder account to find a man to rescue her when her camper van got stuck in the wilderness. So just to elaborate a little bit more on this story, a German woman actually used Tinder in this way to get her and her friends out. There were three of her friends out of a sticky situation within the Norwegian the wilderness. Professional kite surfer and self-described adventurer Lorena Hager was traveling in a camper van with two of her friends in a remote area in the most northern tip of Norway. Then when ice made their journey treacherous and the road became completely impassable for them, the trio were definitely terrified, obviously, that their car would slide down the mountain or collide with another motorist, with emergency services unable to reach them. They actually improvised and thought about creating a Tinder account in order to connect with somebody local.
Yeah, I mean, if your car gets stuck on like a treacherous mountain road or whatever else, you know, how would you actually signal for help? You know, you can make a phone call, you can try to send up a flare, or you could just try to use a dating app. And, you know, Lonia, I believe it is. Lonia actually did that when her car got trapped or her camper got trapped and everything. The thing that's nice, though, is that the Stian Laluten, that's the guy that matched with her, he came to the rescue with a bulldozer and then helped to free the camper.
That's what makes me laugh so hard, is like the name that you just try to pronounce, that guy, he's obviously like staying on Tinder and creeping for any new local person, because let's be honest, the ratio of girls that are even on that app in his 5-10 mile radius is very small. But the article fucking says, once she had set up the Tinder profile, she was contacted by a bearded local man within minutes.
Listen, he rescued her with the bulldozer, and I'm guessing, you know,
that's
since
what
that
he
was
calls
the,
his
the first date, then he tried to bulldozer. But, you know, I'm glad that she was resourceful. I'm glad that at least with those couple last stories that we heard, there's a lot of dumb stuff. we actually had somebody that was thinking outside of the box and actually thinking. And, you know, hopefully with that same thought process, at least since he did save her with the bulldoze and everything else, and she was thinking, that at least she returned the favor and tossed him some brains. Peace.